Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/truetransparencypricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Alex Prude is on his way to Vegas for the Stanley Cup Final. He's with Sports Illustrated, of course, and covers the NHL. Alex, what's going on this morning?
Hey, how y'all doing? Sorry, I'm in the airport right now. There's some announcements going on in the background.
Oh. Well, when you land, there'll be slot machines and everything, you know?
And cheers, probably, at this point.
Yeah, there you go. On this Vegas run to the Stanley Cup, for whatever anybody wants to say about how the team was constructed or what kind of breaks they might have gotten in the expansion draft, what's most remarkable to you just about the way they've performed, the coaching, and just everything that's gone into this?
No, to your first point, I'm already sick of the revisionist history that, you know, well, of course they were this good. They got, no, they didn't. I mean, other opposing GMs didn't have to, you know, hand him William Carlson or Riley Smith and Jonathan Marchessault, et cetera. But, you know, that's another rant. So to your question, what's impressed me the most is the mere fact that they're here. For one, I mean, they obviously came out of the gate super hot. But I don't think anyone thought that it was sustainable. And even if you did, you would say, okay, well, Fleury's the goalie and, you know, he's probably standing on his head, you know, maybe he has like a 940 save percentage through December or something. But, you know, he was injured for most of that. They're, you know, dipping down in the junior ranks and bringing up Dylan Ferguson and, you know, Maxim Legacy and, you know, guys no one's ever heard of really to kind of hold down the fort. But, I mean, top to bottom, this is a true team. And I think that's the way George McPhee and his staff crafted it was, you know, they wanted workers. That was, you know, some advice they got from that, a couple of meetings with the former GMs of expansion teams, Bob Clark and Doug Riseborough. And, you know, those are the advice they got is, you know, find workers, find guys who are going to, you know, who can be top liners and also fill penalties like William Carlson, for instance, or, you know, leaders on the fourth line like Pierre Belmar. You know, they couldn't take all stars necessarily, but, you know, they found a group that is really cohesive. And then they found the perfect coach who's conducive to bringing out their, the best in players like Gerard Gallant.
Vegas also has been able to get these playoff series over early and get that extra rest. And I heard them talking about how they felt like maybe some of the Winnipeg players were a little tired. How much do you think that 7-game series took out of the Jets after they were able to defeat the Predators in advance?
Oh, a decent bit. And I think you saw it over in the East as well with how Boston played against Tampa after coming off that series against Toronto. You know, there's no doubt that there's a mental and physical toll, especially when you're going up against a team that can kind of quick strike you to death like Vegas.
Alex, man, you know, it's still kind of surprising, but yet, in a sense, it seems like they're making Vegas, that is, it's making it look too easy. Does this put a lot of pressure now on all the other coaches and franchises and GMs and head coaches? I mean, that they should be able to win too sooner than later?
Yeah, it should. I would hope that it would make opposing GMs kind of reevaluate their own internal evaluations of talent. You know, maybe think, okay, hey, this guy, you know, he hasn't gotten a chance. He's playing on the fourth line. He's getting, you know, 8 to 13 minutes a night. Maybe we should give him a chance. Maybe we should put him with better players and, you know, see if that brings something out of them. Cause that's been Vegas' MO all year, right? Is, you know, what do they call themselves? The Misfit Golden Knights. And, you know, they've been saying since the beginning that they were a group of people who, you know, essentially rejects, guys who are left on the scrap heap and unprotected. So maybe, you know, maybe that makes, you know, other GMs looking within in the future. And that said, you know, heaven help Seattle at this point. You know, I'm sure that they'll get the same expansion rules. I'm also sure that they're not going to get nearly as much help from opposing GMs who are probably just going to sit on their assets and say, okay, you take what you want. We're not giving you extra picks. We're not giving you extra players to get off the salary. Cause we saw how that worked out with Vegas.
Alex, how do you explain William Carlson? I'm sure, you know, Columbus has to be banging its head against the wall because they never saw that, you know, he's a fourth liner for them, and now all of a sudden he's a 40-goal scorer.
Yeah, and, you know, they gave him a couple picks and Carlson to get out of that Clarkson contract too, which looks extra bad right now. I mean, Columbus sure could use a player like William Carlson. I mean, I don't think anyone in their right mind saw him getting 40 goals. I think it was been reasonable to expect, you know, a jump in production once he got out of that fourth line role in Columbus. But, I mean, he just fits so well with the two, you know, kind of cast offs from Florida there and Marchessault and Smith. you know, some of the ways they're able to kind of cycle the puck in the offensive zone. I mean, they seem to have it pretty much on their tape for the entire, for, you know, entire 50-second shifts in the offensive zone at this point. And then the way they break out from the defensive zone and they're able to kind of fly through the neutral zone using some of these, like, you know, kind of bump passes and, you know, almost like between the legs stuff, you know, ironically enough, Carlson's former teammate, Foligno, when I was talking to him earlier in the year, he said they played with kind of like an arrogance. And that was a good thing, that they make plays, they try plays that people won't even attempt. And that, I think, really speaks to the cohesion that they have there, and also speaks to the job that Carlson's done as their number one center.
I went back and looked. 9 of their top 10 scorers are having career years. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, and I think 7 of their top 10 scorers were acquired via trade, too. So, you know, it wasn't just like, you know, necessarily like guys who they picked and were just available. It was guys that other teams were like, we want you to take this guy because we want to keep someone else, which is also, in my mind, pretty remarkable.
What about Gerard Gallant, their coach? You know, has there ever been a no-brainer, you know, for coach of the year, but also the way that he constructed his defense? Because these were all bottom half guys who have come together and been pretty formidable in front of Marc-Andre Fleury.
Yeah, yeah. So I think some credit there goes to McPhee and his staff. You know, some of the choices were obvious. I think Schmidt was the obvious choice from Washington. I think Theodore was a good pickup from Anaheim. You know, I even think England was a solid choice, both in the locker room. You know, what he can bring there is a guy who lives in Vegas year-round, the only NHL player to do so. But at the same time, look, I mean, that whole group is outperforming, you know, what it should be on paper. I mean, if they end up winning a Stanley Cup, it's, you know, it's probably a little bit better than what we saw with Pittsburgh last year when they didn't have Chris Letang. But they certainly don't have, you know, that number one workhorse that we've seen with past Stanley Cup champions, you know, like Letang, like Chara, like Duncan Keith, like Drew Doughty. So, yeah, I mean, certainly credit Gerard Gallant. He's, you know, the style he plays, I think, is very empowering to players. He wants them to jump in the rush. He wants them to make plays. And they have defensemen like that up and down the lineup. And then, you know, I thought it was a pretty critical point for them when they end up plugging Spezza in there for, I think Merrill had been in there on that third pairing with Miller. And, you know, that's another thing that stands out to me, that they've been able to, you know, kind of toss guys in and take guys out, you know, whether it's Tomas Tatar or, you know, Ryan Carpenter or, you know, all the way down to their third pairing on defense, and they never seem to miss a beat.
Alex, to finish up, we saw a full dose of Winnipeg here on the ice in Nashville over the last few weeks. Was this an opportunity lost or just the beginning for that Jets franchise?
Both, I think. You know, one informs the other. I think it's an opportunity lost because they're right at the start of their window. You know, they've done a tremendous job. I think you have to give a lot of credit to Cheveldayoff, you know, for the way he's built that team from within, all the draft picks that they managed to stock, and then, you know, rounded out with a solid veteran presence. So, look, their window's just beginning. They'll be back, right? I think Nashville's in a similar boat where the wisest thing to do is probably just roll it back. You know, maybe you make a couple minor tweaks here or there, but you have to feel pretty good about the roster you have going into the next year.
Alex, safe travels. Thanks so much for the time this morning.
Yep. Thank you. Take care.